don't know, Ben Dew is coming to be our campus and youth pastor here in our church. And so we are so excited about that and just believe that as we get even more intentional and missional to reaching the next generation, God is, as you've seen this morning, God is going to continue to give us just a great harvest of souls. And so what the Lord's put on, and also the last thing is I want to encourage you, go to the Go Conference, all right? We are go-to church, go. Anytime a word go is in something, it is speaking to us. So the Go Conference for go-to church. And there is nothing like seeing the whole world gather together to worship Jesus, to hear his word preached, and to fellowship together. And world conferences are every 3 years, but I think it's not until 15 years from now we'll be back in the States, United States. And so if you want to go to a world conference, you know, this is, I mean, it's 4 hours away from us. This is our greatest chance. And really, financially, the most inexpensive way to participate in something like this. And here's what I guarantee you. It will change your life. It will change your life. But if it doesn't, see Pastor Charles for money back guarantee. All right. So with that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we just love you. And God, we feel just the weight of responsibility, personal responsibility, as Pastor Charles just talked about, and what it is that you're doing in us and through us, Lord. And so, God, as we gather together this morning to be encouraged, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, Lord, we take it serious as we open up your word. And Lord, I ask, Lord, I'm totally yielded to you and your Holy Spirit, that you would speak exactly what it is that you want to say to your people through me. Lord, I can't believe you use me to do it, but Lord, you do. And Lord, I step in this pulpit in the name of Jesus, Lord, as your reconciler, as your ambassador, as your pastor, to deliver your message. I wouldn't have chosen me, but you did. And Lord, I'm yielded to you in this moment for you to speak to us, God, in such a way that we'd be aligned and assigned to reap this great harvest. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm kicking off a new series that God's put in my heart. I just finished reading the book Grit, and I'm currently reading the book The Jesus Fast from Lou Engle, talking about how he believes we are in a time of unprecedented harvest, meaning that they're believing that there's going to be a billion people harvested for the Lord, a billion souls. That's the prayer that's going on right now. So I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But I took the acronym GRIT and applied it to God's Righteous in Training. Do you know that it is time to be prepared, trained, and equipped for what God is about to do in our lives? It is time. You know, my background is strength and conditioning, health and fitness. And I remember one time reading a quote on one of my favorite coaches of all time, Tom Landry. And they asked him, they said, what's your role as a coach to your players? And he said this, he said, my role is to get men to do what they don't want to do so that they can become what it is that they want to become. And, you know, I feel like that in today's world is kind of a pastor who, you know, has been called to the body to communicate God's message. And I used to always ask the Lord, Lord, why would you call a strength coach to your body? And he very clearly spoke to me. He said, because my body's out of shape. Because my body's not prepared. It's not trained. It's not equipped. And I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about the universal body of Christ in America, okay? It's not trained, it's not equipped for this battle, for this war, for this fight that we are in. And it's time for that to change. And really, all my life has been summed up for this moment in time where God is visiting us, there's no doubt about it. And it's time for us to be trained and equipped for what it is that he's about to do for us. It's time for no more excuses. No more hurts of the past. No more pains of the past. No more discouragement. No more delusionment. No more fears. Nothing is going to keep us from engaging with God in such a way that we were prepared for our moment. For such a time as this, God has called us, saved us, and chosen us to be a part of what he wants to do. And there's no greater honor, there's no greater glory, there's no greater privilege than loving him and serving him. And so it is time for us to take it to a whole new level. And our commitment of unity towards the purpose of the Lord and our commitment to be trained in what it is that God wants to do in us and through us. I want to read this scripture this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 40, to encourage us and to challenge us. You know, we stand in a great history of faith. The saints who've gone before us, we stand with today. And there was a great hope, as we'll read in this scripture, that as what they were going through, even though they didn't practically attain the promises, they saw us by faith far off and said, we're going to endure and persevere and suffer in such a way that those coming ahead of us can grab the baton and take it farther in the advancement of God's kingdom. That is us today. And when we read about this scripture this morning, I want you to know, remember that as they were going through what it is they were going through, they were thinking about us. And here we have the privilege of standing with these great saints today. It says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Again, this is all in the great chapter of faith, right? Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. What did they do? They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames. They escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle. Say that with me. Powerful in battle. Where do we become powerful, church? Not sitting in the pews, right? Not sitting in those seats. That is not the place of power, the place of powerful. We become powerful when we engage in the battle, all right? So they became powerful in battle. Look, you know, we can pray all we want. We can seek God all we want. God's goal isn't just to turn the world into a nicer place. That is not a correct worldview. The correct worldview is that we live in a fallen, dark, lost world, and there's a war going on. And the war is for the hearts, minds, and souls, and eternal destinies of people. And it's a real battle. It's a real war. And God's goal has always been to train and equip and prepare his people to fight this good fight of faith. What do you think Paul was talking about to Timothy? I mean, what do you think the whole book is about? To remain faithful. He's encouraging him all throughout the scripture. God did not give you what? A spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. That's how he starts it off. Why do you need a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline? Because there is a work to do. There is a race to run. There is a battle to fight. And he ends, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. It was all about giving your life so that others may be saved. That is the context of the scripture. We become powerful in battle. One of my mentors, I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, I've been praying and studying a lot. He goes, you know, if you don't open up the Bible and read it as a training manual, because in other words, if you don't read it with the commitment to be trained and be equipped, he goes, it's of no use to you. It's a mindset of, man, there is a war waging, and I've got to be prepared to fight this good fight. Guess what? In this great battle on earth, there is no neutral ground. There's no neutral ground. You're either in the battle, fighting and winning, or you are losing. You are being defeated. You are not fulfilling your purpose. You're not being all that God saved you and created you to be. There is no neutral ground. In other words, you can't just say, well, I'm not going to be confrontational, or just try to be nice to everyone or whatever else. That is deceptive. You are losing ground. Amen. You are falling short. It's just like in working out in the human body, you learn there is no such thing as a maintenance phase. If you are not pushing your body and training your muscles and exerting greater force for them to grow and be strained, guess what? You are not maintaining. What are you doing? You are going backwards. Maintenance is an illusion. And it's time for us to get out of the maintenance mentality into a battle training mentality. All right, so they routed foreign armies. Let's keep reading. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There are others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that what? They might gain even a better resurrection. Man, if any people on planet Earth shouldn't be afraid to die, it should be us. The last fear that Christ conquered on the cross, Corinthians says, Paul wrote, was the fear of death. The fear of death. In fact, for them, it was an honor to say, you want to kill me for the Lord? Go ahead. You're just giving me a better resurrection. I mean, what do you do when you stand before someone who's joyful in death, knowing that they're going to see their king? When you try to persecute them, you try to kill them, you try to eliminate them, what do you do when that makes them stronger? That is the church throughout history. It's the persecuted church that's always changed the world. Always. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. This is the faith that we stand upon. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what was been promised, since God had planned something better for who? For us. That's us. See, when you get in the Bible, it gets in you. Now we're accountable because we're now in the Word. Us is who? Who is us? It's us. Us. We're in the Word. They did all that for us for this moment, that we would become what? Powerful in battle and fight the same kind of fight they were fighting today. Now, they fought so well, at least we don't have to today get up every day and share Jesus and worry about our heads being chopped off in America yet. Because of how they fought.
Yes.
Pretty powerful thought, isn't it? So better for us so that only together with who? Together with us, they would be made perfect. Let's look here at Hebrews. Oh, sorry. Think about this. You know, I was just meditating on this all week. You know, one day we are going to die. Do you know that? I've realized that. I thought time didn't apply to me. The gray hairs and the achy knees have reminded me every day that it does. So one day we're going to be in eternal glory, right? We are going to be sitting at the table with these people. I'm trying to get us there. Are you with me? I'm trying to get us. Because I believe the key to being effective on earth today is having an eternal perspective. Because everything in the world today just tries to get us to just live for how we feel right now. Yeah. So I'm trying to get us an eternal perspective. One day, all right, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be at the table with those folks. We've been invited in by the King, right? The King has invited us in. So here we are sitting at the table, all in by the blood of Jesus. I think he's serving us according to Scripture, which is an amazing thought. So every time the wine glass is poured or whatever else, we see the scars remain, reminding us of how we got there and why we're there and the importance of it. And the great celebration is hopefully that others are there because of how we lived our life. But the point is, we're sitting at the table with those folks. And can you imagine the conversation? So tell me about your time serving Jesus. Yeah, man, I was sawed in too. Really, like, what happened? Well, you know, for us to baptize somebody, we had to figure out how to do it because it meant that we would die trying. I'm watching Paul the Apostle right now, and it's amazing. Wow. When Paul is at the end of his life, And we know how powerful the epistles are and how much God did through his life and how important it was for him to write those words down. Are you with me? That we have today. We're able to open up this Bible and this word because someone shed their blood for us to be able to do it. Yes. How can we not go to the word of God every day? It cost people their lives for us to have it. It's the most valuable book in the history of the world. Always has been, always will be. Amen. Because it's the book of the martyrs. It's the Holy Bible. And so Luke, with this sense of urgency, goes, I got to go visit Paul this one last time because I know he's getting ready to be killed. And so he's sneaking through Rome. And it was at the time of the height of Christian persecution. And you ever heard the term Roman candles? What they were doing to light the pathways at night were taking people who confessed Jesus as Lord and putting them on stakes, and they would line the hallways with burning Christians. They called them Roman candles. And they would pour oil and all that on them, and they would light them on fire and say, cry out to your God now, in a mocking way. And Luke's walking through the city at night, and there's groaning in the streets. Of people being burned as Roman candles. That's what he's going through to get to Paul. Watching his friends being burned on the stake, and he gets to Paul, and Paul's been beaten. He's got fresh wounds on his back, and he's been beaten. And he's like, Paul, we gotta have your story. We gotta write this down. And they're trying to figure out how to do it and where they're gonna do it. And he goes, we're gonna do it right here. Most of what we have in what Paul wrote was written from prison cells. Right, yes. Come on. Right, yes. I mean, the devil thought he could keep him bound and in chains and in bondage and keep the word from going out. God got the word out. Oh, right. So it must be pretty important. Amen. So we shouldn't open it up in a flippant manner, right? Yes. We should open it up in such a way as they gave their life to write it, we should give our life to live it. That should be our mindset. And we'll never do it well unless we're trained to equip. So back to the conversation at the table. Hey, so-and-so, you were sawed in two for your faith. Well, what about you? Like, tell me what your faith looked like. Like, what did you guys do in your time of serving Jesus? We had cookie socials. We ate cookies. You were beaten, and we ate cookies.
Yes.
Let the heaviness of that set in the room as it is. Come on, we should be without excuse. Huh? Let me tell you, we get that kind of mentality. We get that kind of mentality. Game is over for the devil. What do we hold on to? Think of all the things we hold on to or protect that pertain to this life. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? We take nothing with us. Nothing's valuable. Look, when it's all said and done in eternity, the only thing that matters is who's standing there with us. You ever seen Schindler's List? Great movie. Favorite part is at the end when Schindler gave up so much to see so many Jews rescued and saved. And at the end, when they're honoring him as he's being sent off in secret so the Germans don't kill him, and all the Jews that he saved are gathering around him. In that moment, he begins to break down and cry and weep, not in the joy in who he saved, but in those who he couldn't. And he began looking at his stuff, and he was like, this coat was at least three more. I could have got three more for this. This watch, this could have been five more souls. And in that moment, he's tormented at the fact of what more he could have done for more to be saved. Yeah. Powerful. And it's that sense of urgency that we should every day open up the scripture and go, this is what we've been called to. this great battle of souls. And most of what we've experienced in our religious traditions and the way church is done in America, I mean, some of it's good, but man, throw it out. Let's not be stuck to just religious traditions and things like that for the sake of that's how it's always been done. Let's rise up, stand together, pray, preach, and fight this good fight of faith. Witness, let people not like you. Let me in a little secret again. I've told you this before. People already don't like you. They already think you're weird. They already talk about you, okay? So I don't know what you're worried about. Stand up and talk for Jesus. I don't care if they think I'm weird. I want them to know him. It's all that matters. Because let me tell you, all those who thought I was weird at one moment, somehow they always circle back with a phone call or a text in their time of need. Look at Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. The context of this story is that Abraham and Lot have kind of settled in their place. You know, in the Old Testament, when God, you know, the biblical mandate has always been the same. Go into all the world, be fruitful, multiply, take dominion, right? It's our destiny. That's never changed from Genesis chapter 1. Two ways we fill the earth with God's dominion, our natural offspring, right? And the salvation of souls. But practically how that would manifest in the Old Testament was through possession of land. Are you with me? When God was with people and his power was upon them, they would go conquer and possess and take land. Okay? In the New Testament, what is it about? It's about the possession of souls. It's even our founders in writing the document that with a real good biblical worldview, they wrote, every person has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness isn't just whatever makes you feel happy. It was in the context of freedom that in this pursuit of life and liberty, now under God, you have the right to possess property and to possess the most important possession, the freedom and clarity of your own conscience to love and serve God. That is the pursuit of happiness. It's our creative, under God-given right to take possession of this planet and freedom of conscience in serving him and possession and prosperity, right? So we see that all throughout the Old Testament. When kings would turn to him, when people would serve him, what would they do? They would possess. They would prosper, right? So now, so much of in the Old Testament, the battle was external. It was about swords and spears, this battle, right? The point is, no matter where you go, there's always a battle. You can't, even in the book of Revelation, there's what? How's Jesus coming back? How's he coming back? He's not coming back with the sheep over his shoulder, right? Like so many of the religious pictures. What's he coming back on? A what? See, he rode in Jerusalem on what? A donkey. That meant what? I'm coming in peace. He's coming back on a stallion as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conqueror. He's coming back in war attire, folks. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Who's coming with him, Revelation says? The what of heaven? Huh? Host. What kind of host? Is it a cookie social gathering? No. What are they? It's an army. Are you with me? It's an army. So, with that, practically they knew like, man, we've got to be trained because there's always an enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. They knew that. That was part of their training. I mean, when they'd been in slavery and bondage for years, what did God do? He didn't take them to the easy route. He took them to the hard route. Why? So that they would be trained for battle. Because God knew the battle is real. It's coming. Whether you want to engage in it or not, it's coming. And so they knew, we've got to be trained, we've got to be equipped, we've got to be ready. We can't just assume that, man, we can just go to our own little place and be nice people and just withdraw from the world and live our own little way and everything will be okay. The enemy's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And so with that context, they have settled. And guess what happens in Genesis chapter 14? The enemies come, right? The four kings in war show up. And look what it says. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he did something. Here, enemies show up, raid, take their stuff, take their women, take their children. Not a good scene. Lot's gone. So Abraham heard about his relative being taken captive. And what did he do? He called out the 318 who? Trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. The battle was on, right? Now, let me give you a couple thoughts just off of this scripture, okay? And this is all kind of an introduction for the series today. And where we're going to go. But with that, here's a couple thoughts. Number one, you know, we hear all the time, God uses available people. God uses available people. Nice thought. It's a nice thought. Look, man, this week was, you wouldn't believe the attack we were under this week, the Miller family. I mean, just to sum it up, Noah had to go to the doctor. Ethan sprained his ankle. I mean, I'm at the urgent care at 9:30 on Wednesday night. I mean, I could go on and on and on. You know, but I didn't walk into urgent care in a desperate time of need and go, you know, I'm looking for an available doctor. I want a specialist. I want somebody trained and equipped for that moment. You know, when somebody gets hurt, people give you 1,000 opinions of how you should remedy, right? I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for someone trained who knows exactly what to do in this moment. Let me tell you, God doesn't just look for available people. Yeah, of course you got to be available. He's not looking for available people. He's looking for trained people. Trained people for this battle. So here's a couple of thoughts. Your impact for the Lord is determined by what? It's determined by the quality of your training. Bottom line, you want to make impact for Jesus, you've got to be trained. You know, the book, the Grit book, here's what they find out after all this research and study. You know, the misconception in our society today, if somebody's great at something, they were born that way. Look at how blessed they are. They're a beast. You know, if they're an athlete, they're a beast. He's a beast. You know, so what they found is that people who attain greatness, it's not that they were just more skilled than other people. Guess what they did?
They trained.
They worked hard. That's what they found. These smartest people on planet Earth giving their whole life to study, and that's what they found. They had to work hard.
Yes.
They had to work hard. They had to work hard at being great. And they had someone in their life pushing them to be great. That unique combination of love and encouragement, but also discipline. And no, you're going to do it. And I'm going to love you through it, but you're going to get it done. I mean, all the things that apply in the principles of Scripture, they had to do to be great. No one just becomes great because they were just born great. And they just walk in and do it. You know, we look at athletes like Deion Sanders and Michael Jordan and those people, and we go, they were the greatest. Well, get with their teammates. They worked the hardest. They were the hardest workers. Deion Sanders, who was faster than anybody, the best defensive back in the country, he was the only one on the bus. Ask him. He was the guy on the bus with VHS tapes and a portable TV, sticking it in, watching defenses, watching offenses. Wow. on the bus? Why weren't the sorry other defensive backs doing that? Why was the best one doing it? You know why? Because he was the best. Because he was being trained to be great at what he does. That's why he was great, because he was trained. Didn't hurt that he ran a 4.240 either. So your impact for the Lord is determined by the quality of your training. Man, if we want to make impact in this season, we got to commit to being trained. Second thought here is that when life is on the line, according to this passage of Scripture, God uses trained men and women. Go to 3:18. Here's the question I've been asking all week. Why only 3:18? What a random number. Come on, all you smart Bible folks. Is there any significance to the number 3:18? Because if so, I'm going to put it on the back of my kids' jerseys. Why only 3:18? Why not 1,000? Why not everybody? Why wasn't everybody trained? Why was there only 318 in the camp who were trained? I raised the question, what if everybody made a commitment to be trained? You know what it is? It's game over for the devil. Game over. And let me tell you, as we've been talking about, here's what's going on in our country right now. There's a prayer movement happening in people, and it is called the Send. And it's people praying for now the workers to go out into the harvest field. For workers to go out and reap this great harvest. All this kind of culminated this week, and this is what was happening in our nation. These things were happening, okay? So that's happening. The cry, Lord, send out workers. See, when the revelation of Jesus comes, when we see him for who he really is, first thing that happens is we see that he's holy and he's awesome and he's the Lord Almighty. The second thing that happens is we see the condition of who we are and how we're really living and how it grieves God. Woe is me is the cry. A repentance is the manifestation. A compassion for lost people begins to happen in hearts. A greatness of who God is. All those things happening in us. And then from there, as we continue to seek him, and as we are broken and weeping on our knees, he doesn't leave us on our knees. He picks us up and puts strength and courage and power inside of us. And all of a sudden, something begins to rise inside of us when we're with him in that kind of way. And you know what the cry is? All throughout history, it started with Isaiah in his commission. And it's for us today in our great commission. It's, here I am, Lord. Send me. Whom shall I send? No longer are we looking for somebody else to do it. It's, Lord, I'm stepping up in personal responsibility, as Pastor Charles said. Here I am, Lord, send me. Right. So that's happening right now. Let me tell you, be ready. You're going to see so many young people baptized. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. We're going to two services. Every chair has been prayed over. Every chair represents a soul. It's happening. It's happening. Do you want to be a part of it? No, I'm not just talking about sit and participate. I'm saying, do you want to be a part of it? Now is the time. Now is the time. You play a part. Do you want to be in that number? Or a number, where's the rest of the people? And what's amazing is, you know what, God, that number, you could take the 3 away and the 8 away, and God could still do it with the 1. It's our privilege to participate in it. So that's happening. There's the mourning was going on this weekend. People praying and mourning over the fact that in our nation, legislation, laws are being passed that for late-term abortions in New York, now even killing the baby outside the womb. See, it began before technology of the lie and deception that, man, we're not really sure what's in that womb. Is it even human? Like, what do you think's in there? But then technology revealed, nope, guess what? It's a boy or a girl. That's what's in the womb. It's human life. And so now they can't use that deceptive argument anymore. So now it's like, well, hey, man, the enemy's just gotten super bold. To where it's all about your right and how you feel. Let me tell you what it's all about. Here's what it's all about. It's not about health. It's not about the woman's health. Let me tell you, nothing. I served on Pregnancy Help and Information Center board. I was behind the scenes. Back in the day, our church poured $10,000 in to buy one of their sonogram machines. That's how important life is, okay? I've been behind the scenes. I've held hands of the women who've been through all that. Let me tell you, nothing is more destructive to the soul than aborting your baby. And God heals and does amazing restoration things, but let me tell you, that's the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And nothing should be more safe and protected than the womb. And now we can just kill the baby late term, outside the womb, whatever. And people are celebrating it. Man, it's Romans chapter 1 and the depravity of our ultimate depravity, where the greatest judgment on our lives isn't that we go through hard things. It's that God turns us over to ourselves, to our own sinful desires and depraved mind, so much so that we begin to exchange natural relationships for unnatural ones, and that we just kill our babies. And you know what? We approve of those who do it, Romans chapter 1 says. And guess what? God is mad. So that's happening. A mourning's happening over that. 818,000 babies aborted in 2017. Let me tell you what happens when that happens. A curse manifests for every baby that's born on the land. All right, the shedding of blood. And guess what the shedding of blood does? It's perverted. It fuels the demonic. Because he takes the perverted way, the shedding of blood, to fuel the demons. Where Jesus' shed blood does what? It brings salvation. So the enemy perverts the sacrifice and the blood. Are you with me? And nothing that's more innocent than a baby. And as Proverbs says, it's an abomination. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. So that blood's crying out from the ground. Curses are being manifested over our land. Are you with me? So prayer's happening for that right now. Then Nashville is going through an awakening. So this is what's happening. The send, the mourning, and the awakening. Remember that recent Star Wars movie? There's been an awakening in the spirit. Can you feel it? That's what's happening. There's an awakening. You see why I don't act. There's been an awakening, okay? There's an awakening. Now cities are coming together in unity. The body of Christ is starting to really realize maybe we should work together and let's stand together and believe for people to be awakened, to be sent into this great mission. All right, so, and I'm concluding with this. So now we've come to a point in our country where the devil is so desperate to keep this younger generation from knowing Jesus and living for him that the laws in our society are being passed to actually kill them. Are you with me? That's where we're at. Has this ever happened in history before? Yeah, let me tell you where it's happened. Open the book of Exodus. When it was time for God to deliver his people out of slavery and bondage, he was raising up Moses to do it. And what was happening? Not just that, but let me tell you, the Israelites were prospering in slavery. They were becoming more numerous than the Egyptians. And read it, it's powerful. The more they were persecuted. So what did they first do? The Pharaoh went, man, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make their slave labor harder. And the harder he made it, the more babies they produced. And they couldn't figure it out. We're making life miserable for them, and they're still prospering. So then they said this. They went to the midwives. Whenever a boy's born, kill him. Throw him into the Nile, right? That's what was happening when Moses and the significant move of God to do what we stand upon today. I mean, is there any greater signs and wonders than in the time of Moses when God's showing up and letting all of earth know that he's God? Second time, a baby born by the name of Jesus, pretty significant, was about to be born. Star in the sky, wise men seeking him. Herod trying in his own ways to find out where he is and how do I get to him and kill him so that he doesn't take rule and reign. And what goes forth in the land, an edict, kill all the firstborn boys in the time of Christ. Let me tell you, we know the significance of that moment, right? Jesus being born. So, you read Hebrews, you got Moses was a great servant, but Jesus is the greater servant, right? Greater promises. I mean, two historical figures of deliverance in that God sent to planet Earth for us, right? Well, here we are. Are you ready for the third great move of deliverance? We are here in this moment, right here, right now. The greatest harvest of souls is getting ready to be reaped. Not only that, the greatest church planters, the greatest preachers, the greatest ministers of deliverance and reconciliation, they're in the mind of God. They're about to be in the womb. Are you with me? They're about to be in the womb. And let me tell you, what we're doing here, what we're believing for, Bendu coming. Let me tell you, Bendu is a generational blessing. Let me tell you, his dad helped start this church and birth it. And it's no coincidence that 27 years later, God is sending what? A son. Sending a son to help us reap the harvest. We know the significance of when God sends a son. Are you with me? We are going to reap a harvest. And let me tell you what this is about. This is about young people knowing him and marrying correctly and giving birth. Because I tell you, what's in their wombs is going to be that which helps bring God's great deliverance and great harvest for these last days. That's what we're fighting for. Come on, Junes. We got twins in the womb. Double. Where's the Junes? Where are they? This makes how many for them? Seven. Oh, the number of perfection and completeness. Come on. I mean, God is doing it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us, God, in this time. And Lord, we just believe that it is a moment where you are calling us to step forward in commitment, service and devotion to you. Lord, it's a time to be trained. It's a time to be equipped. It's a time to be prepared. And you know what I want to do this morning, just while we're in this attitude of prayer, you know, after our prayer and fasting time at the beginning of the year, God broke something off of us to really cause, just to break off that kind of that complacency and kind of lethargic attitude we'd been in that was causing us to, you know, show up whenever we went to for church and not really press into prayer and worship. And God broke something off of us, and it was different. You could feel it in the environment. My prayer for this morning, and we're going to lay out practical things along the way on how we be equipped for evangelism. How do we be equipped for establishing people in the faith and the Word of God in the church? You know, how do we equip people now for the works of ministry? What does that look like? All these things, all these processes are in place for us now so that what? We can see the ministry of Jesus expanded into our city and in the world. I'm going to be explaining that in the days ahead. But this morning, what is this about? This is about breaking off anything in you or on you that's keeping you from fully committing. You know, last week, Pastor Charles talked about next steps. He said next steps. If we want to go deeper with God, it's all about next steps. I love how he said it. I want to read it. Thank you. said, if you, it was in reference to Peter walking on the water, don't look at the winds and the waves, but look at what is the next step we need to take. In the context of God's not just looking for Christians, he's looking for those who will be obedient to him. Next steps, next steps, next steps, next steps. Said it over and over and over again. What's that practically mean for us? It means if you haven't become a member of this church and this is your church, it's time to become a member. And the personal responsibilities is I'm going to commit to spiritual growth. I'm going to be generous and give. I'm going to help make disciples. I'm going to preserve the unity of the faith and my role in this church. It's time. It's time in that to serve on a go-to team, to just not come and sit and worship and listen to the sermon on Sunday, but help serve in such a way that you create the environment for people to get ministered to. If you haven't been in our foundations class, if you haven't done our purple book, to really be established in the Word, man, that's the next step for you. If you've done all those things and you're not leading a group or in participating in a small group to help make disciples, that's the next step for you.
Yes.
Next steps. All about being trained, equipped, being plugged in, being a part of helping in this great harvest that we're about to reap. And so just want to pray, just believe. It's another come to Jesus moment that if you just say, man, I'm making full commitment, I want you to stand. And in standing, if you go, man, there's just things that need to be broken off of my life, we're going to stay and pray and just pray for you. Just stand. Say, it is time. It is time for me to fully commit. Whatever hurt, pain, don't play the drums loud. Nothing loud right now. Whatever hurt, whatever pain, maybe you've had a bad church experience in previous life. Look, that's not an excuse with Jesus and eternity and what we're talking about. It is time to get past all of that, okay? Sin issues. You know, we talk about this battle. What wars against your soul? Your sinful desires. It is time. Jesus, the power of God is here to break these things off of your life and free you to total commitment. Look, God doesn't use people who aren't under his authority and who aren't committed. I'm just telling you, you're playing the religious game. Don't play the religious game. Life's too short for that. And get to eternity just by the blood of Jesus, as Scripture says, as one barely escaping the flames.
Yeah.
It's time to commit. It's time to take that next step. Because let me tell you, when you do in your heart, God's going to start giving us people. People. This isn't about us. This isn't about us. This is about those that are coming. Yes, we get to experience the touch of God, but it's about those who are coming. More. Anybody else just standing, say, man, I am fully, fully nothing. No excuses. No fear. No sin. No disillusionment. No hurts and pains. No disappointments of the past. Nothing. In Jesus' name, nothing, nothing, nothing. Lord, I thank you for those that are standing. Lord, here we are. God, you know the number that you're going to prepare in this season. For Abram, it was 318 trained men and women. Lord, what will it be for us? Lord, only you know, but God, here's what I do know. Is that, Lord, we are taking possession of this land. God, we are going to see souls saved for Jesus. We've done what you've asked us to do. We've prayed to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And we thank you that they are coming. And, Lord, we will be ready in the name of Jesus. So for all those standing, Lord, we just pray. Just say, Lord, I pray, Lord, everything that's hindered, the sin that's so easily beset, to be broken off of our lives in this moment. Lord, every generational curse, God, we break in Jesus' name. Every hurt and pain, Lord, every Lord, just bad experience of the past. It's broken. The old has gone and the new has come. Lord, that's in the context of the ministry of reconciliation and the newness of Jesus coming to our lives, God. Disillusionment, discouragement, distraction, discord. We thank you, Lord, that you've been aligning us. Now, God, you're assigning us. You're assigning us to this great harvest, Lord. And so we just thank you for it. And, Lord, we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can everybody give the Lord a hand clap of praise? We're going to just stay and pray. If you'd like just to seal the prayer of what God's doing in your life, we're going to be up here and just pray over you. So please come get prayer if you need it. And if not, have a great rest of your Sunday. God bless you. It is time to fight this battle. The cookie social is going on. So enjoy your cookies also.